been in the presence of something vast? Have you ever felt yourself and your own personal concerns become small in the midst of that vastness? Have you ever had an encounter with vastness that gave you goosebumps, that caused you to freeze in place or stare agape? Have you ever had a feeling that you can't fully take in an experience, that it's just too much for you to fully handle, so beyond what you already know or have already experienced? Have you ever experienced time being altered, a sense that time has slowed down dramatically? Have you ever felt a connectedness, a sense that everything is one? If you have had any or all of these experiences, you have been opened to awe. According to Dasher Keltner, awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your understanding of the world. Traditionally, experiences of awe have been understood in the context of philosophy and religion. And that's because religion has at its very core the experience of awe. As Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel says, the higher goal of spiritual living is not to amass a wealth of information, but to face sacred moments. Religion has at its core the quest for experiences of sacred moments. There is the story of Moses and the burning bush, for example. Some of you know this story. Moses is a prophet in both Judaism and Christianity, and this is an iconic story of awe. Many scholars consider Moses a legendary figure, though his character may have been based on an actual person. He is said to have lived in the late 14th century before Common Era, around 1393, a long time ago. According to the Hebrew book of Exodus, Moses was a Hebrew who was raised as the grandson of an Egyptian pharaoh. Now, you might remember, if you were in Sunday school or you're a Bible reader, you might remember that Moses' people, the Hebrews, were enslaved by the Egyptians. And one day Moses witnesses a slave being beaten by an Egyptian. And he intervenes. And the Egyptian is accidentally killed. And the Pharaoh is enraged about this. And Moses goes into hiding. And while Moses is in hiding, he gets married, he becomes a shepherd, and he tends his father-in-law's flock of sheep. And that's when the presence of something vast appears, when a sacred moment of awe occurs. And the scripture says this: Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. And then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And then God said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Moses' encounter with the burning bush was a religious experience and a religious experience of awe. It was an encounter with God, an encounter with something vast and beyond Moses' full comprehension. It was an experience that stimulated his curiosity and his wonder. He wanted to see this great sight and to see why this bush was not consumed by fire. Being in the presence of such mystery also led Moses to redefine himself. Coming before God, coming onto sacred ground, reoriented him to attend to the collective interests of others. Being in the presence of the holy propelled Moses to take action to free his people from slavery. It would lead him to become a leader and a prophet. The story of Buddha's enlightenment is another religious experience of being opened to awe. As with the story of Moses, the story of the Buddha appears to be part legend and part history. Siddhartha Gautama is a prince in the years 563 before Christian era to 483 before Christian era. He rejects what was a very privileged life in order to seek out a spiritual life. And during the quest, he comes to sit beneath the Bodhi tree. And there, beneath the Bodhi tree, he meditates. And while he's sitting beneath that tree, he is tempted by Mara. Mara is the demon of the inner ego. We've all, I'm sure, had those temptations from those inner demons, that inner ego. Well, Mara attempts to derail Gautama's quest for enlightenment. Violence, sensory pleasure, and mockery are used to distract him. But Gautama perseveres in his meditation. He becomes deeply absorbed, reflecting on life and its noble truths. And when he opens his eyes, as the story goes, when he opens his eyes, he sees the morning star and attains enlightenment. He's enlightened to the true nature of existence. He exclaims upon seeing that star, "I, together with all beings, am simultaneously enlightened." After his awakening, Gautama becomes the Buddha. He formulates Buddhism's four noble truths and the Eightfold Path. He becomes a teacher, a guru, a prophet. In Islam, I want to give you one more example from the great traditions, the great wisdom traditions of faith. In Islam, Muhammad's religious experience of vastness produces the Islamic holy book, the Quran. Muhammad was born in Mecca in Saudi Arabia in 570 Christian era. You notice I'm doing them in chronological order, oldest to newest. Muhammad was born in Mecca, and he was a spiritual man who frequently meditated on Mount Hira. And one night he was meditating in a cave, because he often went to caves to meditate, and there he was visited by an angel. And when the angel mentions the name of Allah, Muhammad begins to recite words. He soon begins to preach what has been revealed to him in that cave. He goes out and preaches among the people. And these recitations are then remembered and recorded by others. and they form the text of the Quran. For Muslims, these recitations are considered the word of God, and Muhammad is considered a prophet. Each of these individuals has a spiritual experience of awe. They encounter something vast that is far beyond anything they had ever experienced before in their lives. Those experiences drew them beyond themselves, beyond their own narrow frame, connecting them more deeply and propelling them forward as prophets of their faith. Each becomes a wisdom bearer who has had a direct experience of mystery, wonder, humility, awe, surrender, and reverence. They each become inspired to greater consciousness and kinship and commitment to all. Now, those traditional and larger than life experiences give us insight into awe and hopefully inspiration as well. But opening to awe, those experiences of goosebumps and connectedness, they aren't restricted to those larger than life moments. And they aren't restricted to prophets and gurus. Opening to awe can happen in our daily life. It can happen in the most mundane of experiences. It's something that can happen to anyone. Each of us can have such an experience. It was the 19th century psychologist William James, who was among the first to make this point. Because we may just think that's the way it is, because we may all talk about awe as a common experience, but it wasn't always that way. William James described awe as a universal experience, and he came to this conclusion while pursuing awe himself. He had read the journals of George Fox, who some of you will remember, founded the Quakers. James was in search of what Fox had described as spontaneous openings in nature. And so William James, did what a lot of us do today. He set out for nature, set out into the natural world. He went to the Adirondacks. And there in the Adirondacks, while hiking, he had epiphanies, and this led him to his belief that anyone can experience awe. And then, sometime around the 1960s, the experience of awe was further broadened. Awe came to be described not only in religious terms, but also in secular ones, thanks to the psychologist Abraham Maslow. And he coined a term that I believe will be familiar to most, if not all of you. And that term is peak experiences. Remember that one? Maslow described these peak experiences as especially joyous and exciting moments in life involving sudden feelings of intense happiness and well-being, wonder and awe, and possibly also involving an awareness of transcendental unity or knowledge of higher truths. As though, he said, perceiving the world from an altered and often vastly profound and awe-inspiring perspective. Maslow reframed what were previously considered supernatural, religious, or mystical moments as secular and mainstream. I still call them religious and mystical, but the thing is, it doesn't matter whether you call these experiences sacred moments, whether you call them religious or spiritual, whether you name them as awe, as sublime, or peak experiences. What matters is that we have those experiences. What matters is that each of us can reach beyond ourselves to that mystery beyond us. doesn't require that we witness a burning bush that is not consumed by fire, or that we are visited by angels or demons. We don't need to be gurus or prophets. Wonder and awe are everywhere. Wonder is right here in every single moment. Awe can be inspired from hearing the laughter or the sound of a child, of an infant. It can be experienced when observing people committing acts of kindness or virtue. It can arise in the presence of individuals who have extraordinary skill and talent. I have been struck by awe at the Berks Detention Center vigils. I had a peak experience listening to the imam offer the call to prayer in Arabic at the Interfaith Thanksgiving service. How many of you were there and heard that? It was a deep and profound moment. I had a sacred moment many years ago while surrounded by a crowd of people at an anti-war protest in Washington, D.C. I had a sacred moment chanting in Sanskrit at a program led by Jai Utal. I have been awestruck when falling in love, when snuggling my cat, when singing to my mother when she was dying, when watching the snow fall. And I have had the religious experience of awe right here. I have felt goosebumps and noticed the moments when the energy in this space, in this sanctuary, among these people who are my people, shift. I've experienced it when I have witnessed and felt that shift into a stillness of the heart. When was the last time you faced a sacred moment? When did you last have a peak experience? When did you feel goosebumps? Awe awaits us. It is here, right now, for the taking. May we open to it again and again and again. May it be so, and blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.